If you have your Bible, turn back to Job chapter 2 tonight. We want to try to go a little farther than this. You can never preach it all out, but we want to try to go in a little bit different direction tonight and give you some help. I think it will encourage your heart. Amen. We're serving a great and a mighty God, youngins, tonight. We're serving one that loves us and cares for us, and He cares for us with a godly care. Amen. He's there to love us, not to beat us and beat us down, but to uplift us, encourage us. Everything He does is for our exhortation, so that we could be drawn to Him and we could receive the help that we need to draw closer to Him than we've ever been. Job chapter 2, for sake of time, we'll just read verse 7 and verse 8. So went Satan forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot unto his crown. And he took him a potsherd to scrape himself withal, and he sat down among the ashes. Then said his wife unto him, Dost thou still retain thy integrity? Curse God and die. And he said unto her, Thou speakest as one of the foolish women speak. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? In all this did not Job sin with his lips. We preached this morning on target of Satan, the body. And I'd like to preach for a little while tonight, if God will be our help, on the weapon of Satan, which is suffering. A lot of times we suffer in this old world. Hey, if you're not there yet, you'll come to a point in your life. You'll go through some suffering. You'll go through some hardships. It's just inevitable. Amen. As James said, it's not about when we go through these trials and temptations. He said it's just about when. Amen. It's not if we will, but it's when we will go through these. And we all have to go through them. So we see first that the first attack was on Job's body. He attacked him by circumstances around him. And then he had lost his wealth. He had lost his children. He lost his favor, amen, with men. He lost his favor with his wife. He lost his favor with his friends. And that's what the devil took away from him. Amen. In the second, we see the attack on Job's person. How a horrible disease come upon him. Amen. A disease that struck him from the top of his head to the soles of his feet with sore boils all over his body. And he sat down with a piece of broken pottery and some ashes and began to scrape those to try to get some relief. But the Bible said that even in this, that Job retained his integrity. Amen. How did he do it? Because he was trusting in the God of glory. Amen. Had to give him everything. And though it was gone, he was still trusted in the same God. You see, the God that Job was seeking tonight, God that he was trusting tonight, was the same God that we're trusting tonight. Amen. He's the same one yesterday, today, and forever, and he don't change. And that's if we could ever get in our heart, praise God, that God loves us and he cares for us, what a blessing it would be to us. But as Job began to look around, he looked around at his situation, and the situation he was in was painful. Amen? Hey, it was a situation that was breaking Job's heart. That's all this. Could you imagine just losing everything at once? You know, we think about these people that go through these floods and these hurricanes and tornadoes and things, and all of a sudden their life is just changed forever. Everything that they have is just ripped from them. As we was coming up the road tonight, they was talking about, they was alert, come on the radio and said it, Henderson County and Polk County, some of these other, till 8 o'clock tonight, could expect up to 3 inches of rain, and it could cause some severe flash flooding. We may turn on the radio in the morning or the television set and see where somebody or maybe groups of somebody have lost their homes, amen, this very evening. And how tragic that is and how devastating. So he looked around and he saw these kind of situations. And it was painful to old Job. But when he began to look not only around, but when he began to look within, his heart was broken. He had trusted in God. Amen. He had trusted that. And he loved his children. And he loved those things that he had. He had worked hard for it. And I could see him in my mind's eye as he sits there heartbroken, not understanding what's going on. Have you ever been there? Amen. Just look around and wonder why all this happens. I won't say it happens for a reason. Amen. But I won't say God, praise God, is in the midst of it all, and He's there to help you, praise God, to overcome every obstacle that you face. Amen. And He'll do it for His glory and for your good. You say, well, preacher, I don't understand how I can go through these things and it be good for me. Because I tell you, if you keep your eyes on God and you focus on the Word of God and you hide it in your heart, one of these days, praise God, you'll come out with a shout and you say, praise God, look what God did for me. Amen. When He brings you through and you come out in victory. So he sees, he looks around, he looked within, and we see Job as he looked up. Could you imagine? It seemed like God had forsaken him. Have you ever been there? Amen. It just seems like you're in a situation, you're in a place, and it just seems like God's nowhere around. We've all been there too, haven't we? Going through suffering, going through hardships, going through hard times, and it seems like God nowhere around. Seems like we can't get into the throne of grace. Said God, just like God's not listening, that He's not hearing anything we say. He's not hearing our petition. But I want to say, praise God, God hears and answers prayers. And we have this confidence in Him that if we ask anything according to His will, that He hears us. And we know that if He hears us, amen, we have the petition that we ask. Amen. Hey, that's that have, it's past tense. Praise the Lord. But see what it is, it's, they may not be in our time and it not be in our way, but it'll be the way that give glory to God. Amen. So we just got to hang on and just trust the Lord. But even though he looked around, he looked within and he looked up, praise God, and it seemed like everything around him was dismal, he never gave up on God. The Bible says God retained his integrity. He retained a right relationship with God. He said, hey, listen, you know, even if God slays me, he said, I'm still going to serve him. I'm still going to worship. If he takes everything out, I'm still going to praise God. Amen. But the thing that Job knew that most of us don't know, and we tend to forget, that God was still in charge. See, God, even when the things are dismal, even when things seem horrific, God is still in control. Amen. As we looked at this morning, when those possessions is gone and those persons is taken out of your life, amen, that the devil can't do nothing to you without permission from God. Amen. He has to get permission to do anything that he does. He can't do anything by himself. When it comes to me and you, amen, he can't touch us. He can't touch one hair on our head without permission of God. Now, he can aggravate us. He can confound us. And he can frustrate us. But praise God, it comes to in order to do what he wants to do, praise God, he has to get permission. If you look in the book of Luke, chapter 22, verse 31, remember the Lord was talking to Peter. And remember the Lord's words to Peter. He said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. Here the Lord says, you know what, Simon? He said, Simon, Simon, he said, behold, he said, pay attention. He said, the devil has desired to have you. In other words, he said, the devil has asked permission to have you. Amen? He said, the devil's asked permission to have you that he may sift you as wheat. Amen? Now, what he was saying here to Simon, he was saying, Simon, let me explain to you what's taking place. The devil's asked to take possession that he can sift you. Peter was the wheat. Amen. And he said, he wants to sift you as wheat. He's talking about, he said, but Peter, you're the wheat, but your self-confidence is the chaff. He said, what the devil wants to do, Peter, is he's asked to have you, and he wants to shake your self-confidence. That's what the devil wants to do for every one of us tonight in our sufferings. He wants to shake our self-confidence. Amen? He wants us to get in a place where we can't be confident knowing that God's in control. But I want to say tonight, irrequivocally, God is in control at all times. Amen? He don't relinquish any of His power to the devil, and the devil can only do, oh, Satan, slewfoot, what God allows him to do. Amen? Glory to God. And so we just got to stay in that for good fight of faith, and we just got to keep the confidence. And Jesus went on and told Peter, he said, but I have prayed for thee. Amen. Hey, he said, the devil wants to shake you up. But he said, hey, the advocate with the Father, he said, I'm sitting at the right hand of the Father. He said, I'm praying for you. Amen. Greater is He is in you that's in the world. Amen. The devil may want to tear up and tear down, but praise God, God the Son is God making intercession for you. When you're in those valleys, those hardships, and those trials, praise God, there's an advocate, Father, and that's there for you. Amen. It's just a matter of seeing Him where He is. Amen. Bless His holy name. He said that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted. In other words, He said when you turn back, when you get your confidence back, when you realize, praise God, the God of glory hasn't changed and the precious Lamb of God, He's still the Lamb of God that's going to take away the sins of the world. Amen. He said when you're converted, He said strengthen the brother. Amen. He said when you get your self-confidence back. You know, when the devil takes away your self-confidence, you know, it's easy when you're a youngin' and you get out here in this world and you start learning to do things and you get up and you try, and you know, you've got this confidence in yourself and you know, I can do this. And you get up there in that spelling bee or you get in there in some kind of contest or some sport and praise God, you say, I'm ready for this. And you get up there and you just strike out. Amen. You ever done that? We all have. You get up there, all in yourself, praise God, and you think, man, I've studied, I've got it ready, I've practiced, and I'm ready to go. But then you get up there and you just blow it. And your self-confidence goes from way up here to way down here. You ever been there? And so you've got, and it takes a while, doesn't it, to build that back up to where you can try one more time. So that's what the devil wants to beat us down, get our self-confidence way down here, and he wants to keep us here, and he don't ever want it to be built back up. That's what he does. See, he don't play fair. Because the devil, he don't like you, and when he gets you down, he's going to beat on you to keep you down. But we got to have confidence in the Lord, praise God, and say, you know what? No matter what he does, no matter where he takes me to, I'm just going to trust in the Lord. I'm going to cry out to Jesus. And I want to say tonight, praise God, I've told you, Tanya, you get to cry, Jesus, 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 praise God, the devil, I hit the trail. Yeah. Amen. Because when you call on our Heavenly Father, our big brother in heaven, amen, the devil can't stand the resistance. Amen. So he has to flee. But he said, when you convert, when you get your self-confidence back, amen, when you have time to think about it and realize that, hey, you know what? Even though you messed up, even though your confidence was shaken, praise God, God's still God. And He always will be. Amen. Amen. And He said you begin to realize that and you begin to get your perspective back. Amen. But now what the devil uses, it's how we respond to our suffering. See, the devil likes it when we respond in a negative way. He loves it when he can break our self-confidence. Get us to trusting in self. Gets us to trusting in the world. Gets to running, skirting around in the world trying to fix it. Amen? Because the devil, if he can get our mind occupied with trying to take care of it, then he's got us where he wants us. See, the devil plays with our mind in a lot of ways. Amen? The devil get in your head and he'll run around like, hey man, he'll make it a playground. And he'll run around in your head and he'll put all kind of things in your head. Amen? Things that ain't true, things that he makes up and puts there to take away and destroy your confidence. He'll take it away, destroy your confidence in your wife, your husband, in your children, in your church, amen, in the people around you, the people you work with. He'll do it. Yes, sir, he will. To destroy your self-confidence in the people around you and everything else. That's what he does. He don't play fair. But if he can get you to respond negatively to your suffering. Now, I want to say tonight, God doesn't control. I'm trying to take my time. Because I want you to get this now. God doesn't, he doesn't control how we respond to suffering. Right? How we respond to our suffering, through hardships, praise God, depends on us. And the most of it is our relationship with Him. When we get in hard times, that's when we ought to call on God. That's why He said, cast our cares upon Him, because He cares for you. So praise God, when we start having problems, we need to start casting our cares on the Lord right away. But you know what we do? The devil runs around, he plays in our head, praise God, and he gets us all up in self before we ever think about casting it on the Lord, taking it to Jesus, asking Him for help. And the devil's done had a heyday in our lives. He's done tore up and tore down and in a lot of cases tore asunder. Amen. Before we realize, you know what? God is still in control. And God is still able, amen, to make a difference in our life. So we see, and when we get in this situation, we begin to respond in a negative way instead of a positive way. We're giving Satan, he gains ground in our lives. We're given opportunity to gain ground in our lives. We don't want to give him a foothold. We don't want to open a door, much less let him gain ground. So what do we got? We got to realize that this thing is serious. And the sufferings that we go through, praise God. Hey, listen, they're not all of the devil. Amen? There's different sufferings in this whole world that we go through. Lots of different sufferings. Amen. There's natural sufferings. Cause you know, sicknesses because of the fall. Injuries. There's a slowing down because of age. The Bible talks, look at Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 and verse 18. He said, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." He said, these are light afflictions compared to what we're going to have when we get to glory. Amen. He said, hey, it may seem like hard times here, but he said, these sufferings of this present time. Now, these are natural sufferings that we go through. They're natural. Everybody goes through it. If you're going to get old, you got to get tough. Amen? Because as you get older, the body begins to fail you. That's just the way it's designed. See, in the beginning, we were created to live forever in the garden. We would go to sleep at night, wake up in the morning brand new. What do you think about that? But because of us, it'd be wonderful. And it's going to be, hey, that's going to be the way it's going to be. And, amen, praise God, during the millennium. And it's going to be that way when we get to reign and live with the Lord forever. Amen. We're just going to live forever, praise God. We're going to have that new body every day. Amen. How do you know? Because there's not going to be no light. It's going to be an endless day. A day when you won't get tired no more. You won't get run down. You won't get sick. And praise God, you won't get discouraged. Amen. Praise the Lord. Because the discourager's gone. Amen. But he said, we'll have these natural sufferings. He said, "For earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption." Now listen to this, I like this. "Into the glorious liberty of the children of God." That's deliverance from the curse. "For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together unto now." The whole universe is suffering. Amen. Stars is burning out. All around us, things is happening. Things is going away. He said, "But not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit." That first fruits of the Spirit, that's salvation. Amen. The first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves, groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of what? Our body. So he said there's a natural suffering that we're going to go through here in this world, and we just might as well get used to it. Just because we get saved don't mean everything's going to be perfect and everything's going to be smooth and we'll never get sick and we'll never have pains, aches and pains again. That's not the promise of God, praise God. He said we just have a relationship with him and he'll watch over and take care of us all the way to the end of the way. And when it's all said and done, he'll deliver us safe unto himself. Amen. So he said we'd have natural sufferings. Not only did he say that we'd have natural sufferings, but he said there'd be disciplinary sufferings. Amen. Look at Hebrews chapter 12 while we're back here. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 5. Well, let me just go back to the top and just read this verse 1. It says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience a race as set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him." Now listen, this is me and you now because we're partakers with Christ. He said, "Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." Amen. That's where we're going to be with him one day. So, hey, praise God, no matter what we're going through in this whole life, praise God, we've got something to look forward to. He said, for consider him that endured such contradictions of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. And ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. Amen. He said, you've not had to shed your blood because of sin, sinners. Right? Amen. You've not had to pay the ultimate sacrifice. You've not hung on a cross and been crucified for the cause of Christ. But we say that we suffer. He said, you have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. Now listen to this. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? So we have suffering in this world because of the chastening of God. When we get out of line, amen, God's going to do something to get your attention. Amen. He may put you flat on your back up there in the hospital, so you'll have to look up and say, you know what, Lord, I've messed up. Or he may take one of your children and put them up there, amen, if your mom or daddy, to get your attention. Amen. Get you to see, hey, you know what, I need to back up and do this, rethink this thing. How I'm approaching the throne of God. Amen. There's no telling what God would use to get your attention. Because, hey, when it comes to chastening the Lord, to get us where we need to be. So there's not only the natural suffering and the disciplinary suffering, but there's also obedient suffering. Now, this is where I want to get a suffering in obedience. Did you realize you can be absolutely obedient to God, going in the right direction, do all of the right things, and still have to suffer for God? You say, well, why? Because Job did. Are we better than Job? Job, he said he was just an upright man. Said he was good. He was doing all the right things. But he had to suffer because God allowed it to take place. We have to suffer sometimes. Obedient suffering. Look at Matthew chapter 22. Now I want to preach right here for just a minute. If God help me, you'll pray for me. And we'll go to house. Now Jesus, at Matthew chapter 14, he's already, in verse 15, he's already, Jesus has fed the multitude. Amen? He's fed the 5,000. He calls disciples, and there's 5,000, or there's a bunch of people there. And he said, hey, they're hungry and need food. He said, well, feed them. And the disciples said, well, we ain't got but a couple of fishes and 5 loaves. He said, bring it to me. Amen. And the Bible says he prayed over it and he break it and he told them to sit down and come and he gave it to the disciples to pass out. And the disciples passed out the 2 fishes and the 5 loaves and he said they ate till they was all full, till they couldn't eat another bite. And then he said they took up the fragments that was left, 12 baskets. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. 2 fishes and 5 loaves, praise God, fed 5,000 men, not counting the women and the children, and he took up 12 baskets. I believe he said, glory to God, I believe personally, he sent a basket home with each disciple. Amen. Now here, fellas, here that'll help you unbelief. Next time you get to doubting me, praise God, he said, hey, just look in your basket. But notice what takes place after this feeding of the 5,000. Now, Jesus just done a magnificent miracle. He took 2 fishes, 5 loaves, and fed 5,000 plus their wives and children. Amen. Probably 10, 12,000 people could possibly. And he done that. And then the Bible said in verse 22, it said, and straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. Now I want you to picture this for just a moment tonight. Jesus constrained them. In other words, he got their attention. He said, fellas, this is what I want you to do. He said, I want you to get in that little boat and I want you to go to the other side and I'll meet you there. They didn't ask no question. He said, this is what I want you to do. And they did it. And he said, while you're doing that, I'm going to send the multitudes away. So these disciples, the Bible said, and when they had sent the multitudes away, he went up, and when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray, and when the evening was come, he was there alone. Amen? So the multitudes, on, they got in the boat to go to the other side. The multitude he sent away. The disciples are headed to the other side in the boat. He's up on the mountain praying by himself. And now listen to this. Verse 24 said, but the ship is now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind is contrary. Amen? He said, in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. Now you just picture this. Now these disciples are out here in the middle of the sea. Amen? Now, to cross the Sea of Galilee, it would take a couple hours in a boat if you're rowing it. And if you had a little sail, you could go faster if the wind was right. But now the disciples out there, and this is evening, they get in the boat, they head to the other side, and it's the fourth watch. Amen? It's early in the morning. They've been on the sea, they've been rolling all night. Amen? In the perfect obedience of God. Didn't question the Lord. They just said, okay, Master, if you say get in the boat, go to the other side. Praise God, we're going to the other side. Yeah. Amen? Can you picture it? So they're out there in the middle of the sea, and they say that the water, the storms come up quickly out there. The winds will get to blowing, and they'll swamp a boat. But so those disciples, the Lord sent them out there. He goes them out to pray, and they're out in the middle of the Sea of Gennesaret or Sea of Galilee, amen, and they're just rowing that for all they're worth, and the wind's contrary, and they're not making no ground. Can you see it? Now, they're in the perfect will of God. God told them, the Lord Jesus told them to go there. This is where He wanted them to be. Amen. See, we may be in a place now, you may be in a place that seems like you're out in the middle of that sea, and the winds is contrary, and the waves is overflowing you. But listen, if you're there on purpose, I told my wife when I went to Jerusalem, they had a lot of conflict. They had just over there in the Church of the Nativity in Bethlehem, they had just had this thing where they had a siege, and for 21 days they had it under siege. And we got there the week right after that. And my wife was really concerned. She said, you know what? And I called her one night, and you could hear mortar rounds going off in the distance. I mean, they was at war. They was fighting. But I told her, I said, honey, don't worry about it. I'm in the perfect will of God. This is where God laid on my heart to be. I'd rather be, praise God, in the middle of a storm, in the middle of a battle, praise God, where God would have me to be than in the best hotel in the world. Outside the will of God. Amen. When these storms come on our life, praise God, it may seem like they're overflowing us, that our ship's going to sink. But praise God, if we just remember who put us in that storm, praise God, it's God that allows us to be in the midst of that storm. He allowed the disciples to be out there in the middle of the ocean, the middle of the Sea of Galilee, rowing for all this work. Amen. They was giving all we got, just like me and you do. But praise be to God, they was a God on their side. Now watch what happens. They're out there rowing. And you know, one of them said, you know what? We ain't gaining none. He said, hey, it's all right. The master said to go to the other side. Just keep rowing. Amen. He said, one of them said, you row and I'll bail. Y'all want to say praise God? Listen, Douglas, sometimes as children of God, some of us others see our brother and our sister rolling contrary to the winds and the waves. Praise God, we just need to come alongside them and say, you know what? Give me just a minute. Let me go get my bucket and I'll bail while you row. Amen. Glory be to God. God put them there, praise God, for a reason. And it's probably because so you can come along, praise God, and be a light and a beacon to them. They can see what God's got in store for him. But you know, they're out here rowing. They're giving all they got. Some's a rowing, some's a bailing. Amen. And the winds is a blowing. The waters, the waves is crashing. The winds is contrary. But there's one that's over on the mountain that's watching. Amen. I want to say, praise God, there's one on the mountain to watch. Amen. Jesus sitting at the right hand of the Father on high. He's watching over me and you. He knows exactly where we're at. He knows the storm in the end. He knows exactly the intensity of that storm, praise God. And He'll not let it overcome you. Amen. We just keep our faith and hope. You know what them disciples doing? Well, it was a rowing and a bailing. They was a rowing and a bailing. Amen. And they said, hey, just hold on. They said, we get over there. Said, Jesus will be here in a minute. Amen. Said, the master's done told us to go to the other side. And praise God, boys. Hey, I just see old Peter. He's done got his call. He said, hey, fellas, just keep a rowing. Keep going. He said, it's going to be all right. Jesus will meet us on the other side. He said, go, praise God, and we're going. Amen. But don't let the discouragement drag you down. The present suffering, praise God, get you to take your eyes off of Him and put it on something else. We have to keep our focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And I can see in that the Bible says on the fourth watch. Now that fourth watch is that watch right before daylight. Amen. It just happens to be the darkest time of night is those hours right before daylight. Any of you fellas hunt? Amen. Have you ever noticed you get up there and you get out of your truck and you start through the woods and you get up there at a tree, stand about an hour and a half before daylight, and you get down there at the bottom of that tree and you can see pretty good at the truck. The moon was shining stuff, but you get up there at that tree, man, you can't even find where your tree stand is. It's just like it's a darkness of night that's just come down and settled in. And I mean, you can't even see your hand in front of your face. Geez, that's where them disciples was. They was in that blackness of night. Amen. But they hadn't give up, Brother Eddie. They was still a-rowing and a-bailing. Amen. Hey, listen, I won't say even though we in the blackness of night, we can't quit rowing and a-bailing. Amen. We just got to keep on for the glory of God, realizing that this storm too will pass. And we got to realize that there's a God of glory sitting at the right hand of the Father, and He's looking down upon us. He knows exactly where we're at. You know, the Son, Bible said He was alone on the mountain. He'd went up there and prayed, and He had talked to the Father. And the Father said, "Boy," he said, "Son, you know, I got you boys down there, and there's a storm coming up." And Jesus says, "Is that right?" And he said, "I kind of seen that coming." He said, "Yeah," I said, "there's a storm coming up," and said, "They're out there, and the weather's getting pretty rough." Son said, "Yeah," I said, "I was kind of keeping an eye on them. Hey, man, I know where they're at. They're right in the middle. It should have been on the other side, but they're right in the middle. And this storm's come up. It's caught them. It's contrary. The waves is crashing in." But he said, "You know, I know where they're at." And he said, "The evening settled in on them, and they was rowing. Boy, they was getting her done. They thought, hey, it won't be long. We'll be on the side." Said, "Come on, boys, row. We'll get there before dark." Amen. Can you just imagine it? And then the darkness began to settle in. They said, "Boy, we ain't going to make it by dark." Amen. "Just keep on rowing." "No, we got to get," he said, "go to the other side." So they're rowing and they're pushing with all they got. Amen. Listen, hey, when times start getting stuff, that's when we got to get in there with all we got and go for God. When the sufferings begin hard, it seems like the devil's trying to overthrow. It seems like the world's crashing in on us. Praise God, which one? We just got to get in there and row for Jesus. Amen. We just got to give it up because we're heading for the other side. If we had ever realized in our hearts, young, and when these times of suffering come, praise God, we just keep on because we're heading to the other side. The Lord Jesus Christ, the helper. The Bible said when they got there and it was the darkest part, the waves was crashing and the winds was contrary, that Jesus came walking to them on the water. Amen. Now these fellas out there, and they're terrified already. They said, "Well, you know," maybe one of them said, maybe old Thomas, he said, "Boys, we ain't going to make it. The water's coming in faster than I can bail." And they said, "Well, Tom," he said, "don't give up, keep bailing." He said, "Well, you boys keep rowing. I'm a bailing." Hey, man, they said, "Hey, listen, we got to work together in this. We got to get to the other side because that's where the Master wants us to be." And so they keep working. They keep striving together. Amen. That's why it's important to have unity in the house of God. It's why it's important to strive together. Amen. Hey, listen, but if Brother Eddie gets out here by himself and he tries to do it alone, praise God, the old devil will suck him up. Amen. If Brother Rex tries to get out here and do it by himself, the world will suck him in. But praise God, when we come together and we encourage one another and we row together, praise God, for the glory of God, and we have a mind and a destination of the other side, and the only thing we focus on, praise God, is bringing glory to the name of God, then God's right there to help us. The Bible said Jesus came walking to the water, and they were scared to death. Amen. What did they expect? He had told them to go. He said, "I'll meet you on the other side." But they wasn't looking for Him. Glory to God, they wasn't looking for Him in the middle of the storm. Amen. Hey, I want to say, praise God, a lot of times we got to get to looking for Him, praise God, in the middle of the storm. Because you'll find Him in the middle of the storm. He'll be that one that's keeping you afloat. He'll be that one that's keeping you going under. He'll be that one, praise God, that'll keep the oars in the oarlocks. Amen. So that you can keep rowing, praise God, for the glory of God. And He come to them in the fourth watch. When they thought, man, we ain't going to make it. We're wore out. We can't row no more. Amen. We can't bail no more. But He said, you know what? Jesus come along. He said, "Hey," he said, "fellas, how you doing?" Then notice what he says when he gets to them. The Bible says, when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit," and they cried out for fear. And straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." Amen. In the fourth watch, the darkest part, he said, "Hey, look, it's me. Don't worry about it. Don't be afraid. I've come to help you. I know where you're at. And I know what you need." And he said, "I'm here to supply that need." Amen. To give you your confidence that you'll need. And Peter rise up and answered and said unto him, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come thee on the water." Now the wind is contrary to waves, are boisterous. And Peter said, "Well, Lord, if it's you, bless God, and if you can walk on water, I can too." He said, "Just bid me come to you and let me just walk around out there with you. And then you'll go to the other side." Amen. That's confidence. That's confidence. We need confidence in the Lord. But the Bible said Peter stepped out. And you know, we downed Peter a whole lot because his faith got weak. But at least he stepped out of the boat. Most of us won't step out of the boat. But Peter stepped out of the boat and began to walk on water with Jesus. But when he seen those waves boisterous and that wind blowing, he said, "Oh, wait a minute, you know, I can't conquer this." And he began to sink because he took his eyes off the Lord. But as long as they rowed together, as long as they bailed together, as long as they kept their eyes on the Lord, they stayed afloat. Amen? When suffering comes, sometimes there's obedient suffering that we go through. We suffer in obedience. But God, we've got to remember that God is there with us, praise God, to deliver us through the suffering. Amen? You say, "Well, why does he do it?" He does it, praise God, to perfect our faith. To help us to realize, praise God, that we can trust him. I guarantee you, everybody in here has went through a lot of things in your life. Different things, and you wondered, you know, "Where's God at? I need some help." But praise God, he always showed up right on time. Has God ever been late? No. He always shows up right on time. But sometimes he hangs you out there, praise God, in perfect obedience. But he lets you stay out there, praise God, just to say, "You know what? I know he's going to show up on time to perfect your faith." Amen? Not only does he do it to perfect your faith, but he does it like he did Peter, to teach him and bring him into maturity. To help him realize, praise God, because of your faith, because you're keeping your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, that God will bring you through. He'll deliver you. Jesus had come, and when Peter was come out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Amen. Sometimes we just, in the midst of our trials and our sufferings, in our obedience, we just have to say, "Lord, we need some help." And just wait on the Lord, because he's going to reach down with that hand. He's going to pull you out. And the Bible said, immediately, Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him. And said unto him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Amen? When they were coming to the end of the ship, the wind... Now Jesus was there, and Peter said, "Lord, help." Sometimes we get in the midst of that suffering, and we just say, "Lord, I need some help." Amen? And hey, listen, but you know what happens? Most time we don't say, "Lord, I need help." We just keep struggling through it. Instead of getting on our face before God and saying, "Lord, I need your help." Amen. We suffer. We're in obedience. We're right where we're supposed to be. And we're in the midst of suffering. But we forget to remember God. Amen. The one that can get us through our suffering and deliver us safe over on the other side. Amen. According to his perfect will. But we see this thing playing out, and we see, you know, in Job's calamity. In Job's calamity, he could have been like me and you so many times. So many times we could think, well, you know, it's just, this stuff's just happening. Amen? In Job, in his life, he could say, well, you know, it's just natural things. The Sabians come in and they took my oxen and my asses. They just took them off. The fire has come down, and the fire burned up the sheep. Said lightning from God. He said fire from God's come down. He said, "Well, lightning just took my sheep and my servants." It's just an act of God. And he could say, well, you know, the Chaldeans, they've come in and they've taken all my camels away and killed my servant. You know, that's just an invasion from another tribe. And then he said, well, you know, a great wind blew around and it blowed and my son was in there and all that was with him. And a tornado just come up and took my family away. But it wasn't the, it was the devil that was in the effect. The Satan was in the midst of it. But even when the devil gets us out there and when we're in the will of God and the devil comes to tempt us, praise God, we have this confidence that God is, that does not change, that God is still there for us because He won't leave us alone. Amen. He's still got control of the situation. He controls everything that goes on around us. We just have to keep our faith and our confidence in Him. Amen. Because Satan can't do nothing without permission. He has to have permission from God. But Satan uses our circumstances and he uses people and he uses even nature to defeat us and discourage us. Amen. That's what he does. That's what he does. When we're in perfect obedience, God doing it, the devil comes along and he tries to discourage the people of God. Every one of us in here has got some situation where the old devil is trying to use somebody or something to discourage us and keep our mind off God. Amen. But we got to keep our focus. We got to realize it. When God allows Satan to light a fire in your life to try to burn and consume you up, when God allows that, Brother Eddie, you know who's got hold of the thermostat? It's God Almighty. Amen. When the devil comes along, he tries to burn you up, build a fire in you, consume you. No matter what it is, it's God that's got hold of the thermostat. Amen. He's the one that's controlling the temperature, how hot it can get. How do you know? Because look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and I'm done. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, he said, wherefore, verse 12, he says, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Amen. There hath no temptation taken you but such as common to man. He said, everybody's going through something just like you are. Right? Amen. But God is faithful. I like it. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. Amen? He said, what we need to do is we just need to look for that way of escape. He said, He won't put more on you than you can stand. He controls the thermostat. And God says, hey, He said, I'll let you go through some suffering, even when you're in obedience suffering, even when you're trying to serve the Lord. I'll let you go through some things. But He said, I'll control the thermostat. He said, you just keep your eyes and your faith on me. And He said, I'll bring you through. I will deliver you. We have that promise from the Lord. He said, I'll not let temptation overtake you. But He said, with it, I'll make a way of escape. He said, what's He saying? He said, He'd make a way out for me and you. When suffering comes, amen, it may be natural suffering, it may be disciplinary suffering, or it may be suffering in the will of God, in obedience. But God says, hey, listen, just to trust me, He said, I'll be there with you in it all, and I'll deliver you safe when it's said and done. Amen? But we just have to remember, just keep our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of our faith. He's the one that'll deliver us through all our sufferings. Amen. There'll be sufferings. There'll be hardships. There'll be things in our life that we don't understand. And we'll think, you'll think, and you may even pray, Lord, you know, I'm where you wanted me to be. Help me, I don't understand. But you know what? He wants you to know that. He said, hey, just keep your faith in Him, that He's got it under control. Amen. And everything that He does for your good and for His glory. He said, well, preacher, I just don't understand how these sufferings can be for my good. He said, because it'll bring you to perfection and it'll bring you to maturity. And one of these days, you get to be one of these senior saints. We get to be one of these senior saints. We can look back, you know, and say, you know what? God did all that. Amen?